This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 2, 2017. Passion Sunday by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, I will raise you up from your graves. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The readings today all speak of the resurrection. You would think, why don't we read those on Easter, being that they have to do with the resurrection? Well, as we proceed from our Lenten exercises, just a little technical footnote, the true Lenten season ended yesterday at 3 p.m. That does not mean you're off the hook. As a matter of fact, it means you should jack it up a bit, because the next 2 weeks are Passiontide and Holy Week. Passiontide sounds so nice. Passion Sunday. Passionate. Jesus must love us. It's passion in the sense of suffering. This is Suffering Sunday. And this next week is Suffering Week. And then it gets worse during Holy Week. We are walking toward the resurrection. But the readings today speak of the resurrection because we need to understand as Catholics that to discuss the resurrection is not a discussion of a theological proposition. It is not an ethereal, abstract topic that you can banter back and forth about. The resurrection is much more real and much more practical for us. The resurrection is the crux of your faith, pun intended. The resurrection is what we are about. The resurrection is what makes us different from everyone else. The Roman Catechism says on the importance of this article of our faith, the resurrection, on this doctrine rests the hope of our salvation. For according to the reasoning of the apostle, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen again. And if Christ be not risen again, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. There is no reason whatsoever for you to be sitting here today if the resurrection for you is a concept. If the resurrection for you is just what you think about at Easter time, because that's what we talk about, the resurrection is our faith. The resurrection is not, as I said, an ideal. It is a reality. Today's readings communicate that to us. It's interesting when you look at them from the Old Testament, New Testament epistle to the Gospel, you actually see how our faith really kind of plays out as we get closer and closer and closer to our Lord, as we grow in His grace and in His knowledge. The first reading from Ezekiel, way back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel is seeing a vision. It's a vision. God is there with him, speaking to him, and he shows him this valley where there's nothing but dry bones laying around. These bones in the vision speak out, and they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Yeah, it's a vision. Really nifty. Churchy story from the Old Testament. No, that's the reality of our spiritual condition. We are dried up. Our hope is lost and we are clean cut off before our baptisms. I always point out when we do a baptism, kind of a heavy thing to go there every time we have a baptism, but I can't help it because it's the truth of our faith, and unfortunately we don't hear it a lot. But the little baby who's all dressed up, generally it's a baby, it's all dressed up and comes in here, I say, you know what? It's really kind of hard to think that that little baby all dressed up is an enemy of God's. What? That's what he is. She is. They're an enemy of God. They are separated from him by original sin. They've committed no actual sin, but original sin itself separates us from the graces and communion with God. We are dried up. Our bones are clean cut off. We are lost. Then in the vision of these dry bones, God speaks to Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, jump tracks a little bit and get a little bit practical. Most of us today pass by a cemetery or two on the way here. Most of us don't live close. When you look at a cemetery, you imagine a voice popping into your head going, "Look in there. Can they live?" What is your human response? Of course not. They can't live. They're dead. That's a question God poses to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel could respond humanly and say, "Of course not. They're dead guys. Just bones." But Ezekiel doesn't respond like that. Ezekiel responds in faith. He says, without understanding how it could possibly happen, he says, "O Lord God, you know." That's the way we should approach things. Not from a human perspective, but from the perspective of God doing what he will do because he's God. And he is able to do all things, even raise the dead. That is where our faith starts. We can't help it. It's conceptual. You're baptized into the church. You come into the church as an adult. You decide to be a Catholic. You learn things. There are concepts. There are theological stuff, catechisms and things like that. It's all well and good. It's all well and necessary. However, it's got to become real for you. When we start getting our eyes open to the reality of these things that we know, these propositions that we hear, then the epistle comes into play. You know, we just saw Ezekiel having this, you know, "I don't get it, but how do dead bones rise?" "Oh Lord God, you know." And guess what? The Lord says to Ezekiel, "Speak to those bones and they do rise up." Which is segues into where we are with the Lord now, as we are growing in his grace and in knowledge of our Lord. Romans says, St. Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "If Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness." Now, remember the first part, not righteousness that's in your nature, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why it starts out, "If Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive." People who do not have Jesus Christ are not alive in spirit. They are completely and utterly dead. They are separated from our Lord. You need Jesus Christ in you. This is when the light should start going on for us. This is when we understand the reality. A spiritual reality, yes, but a reality nonetheless. If Christ is in us, although our bodies be dead because of sin, our spirits are alive. And our bodies are. Our bodies, no matter who you are, no matter how good of care you take care of yourself, no matter how great your doctor is, guess what? Should the Lord tarry, you are going to get old. And it ain't no fun to use bad grammar. Things start to deteriorate. They don't work like they used to. They start falling apart. Had a doctor look at me one time and say, "You're over 40. The warranty's out on everything you have." Thanks, guy. Our bodies are dead because of sin. And we're going to die. And why we think we shouldn't, that befuddles me. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to die. Our Blessed Mother had to die. What makes us think we're better than that? I'm just saying. But our spirits are alive in Christ Jesus. I always point out the analogy. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, as hard as it is, it really drives home a reality that should actually comfort us. I sit here, stand here, and say that your bodies will deteriorate. Some of us know better than others. that your bodies deteriorate and you will get sick and you will eventually die. That's going to happen. The opposite then is going to happen also, because we don't have to believe that we're going to get sick and die or old and die. But we should believe with as much truth that our spirits are made alive in Christ Jesus. And as our bodies deteriorate and get close to death, our spirits should be ever more and more rejuvenated. They should be getting actually ever younger, getting much stronger. That's the way it should happen. A person that is most tremendously weak at the end of their life should be a person, if they are imbued with the Holy Spirit, and they've lived a life of faith and obedience in the Catholic Church, then they should be, from a spiritual standpoint, the strongest that they've ever been. Their prayers should be tremendously efficacious. You want dying people praying for you if they are holy dying people. See, that's the reality when we start to see the spiritual aspect. But it just doesn't stop there. You know, we could stop there, amen, and get on with the rest of the Mass. But it's not about just the spiritual understanding. It's about reality. It's not about this spiritual, ideological kind of approach to the resurrection. That's the gospel today. Jesus just didn't leave it with, yes, Martha and Mary, he will raise up the last day at the resurrection. No, I want to show you something, folks. I want to show you something. Let's go to him. Jesus Christ says, for the glory of God, he's going to go to Lazarus. He doesn't stop with the glory of God, and God is the only one deserving of glory. Jesus says, for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Jesus Christ is, for all intent and purposes, saying, so I may be glorified in what I am about to do in front of you. He meets the sisters, and again, they both, in their spiritual conception of things, they say, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, he's going to raise. Well, we know he's going to raise the last day. It'll be in the last day of the resurrection. Jesus looks at them and says, I am the resurrection. That's what I mean about a reality of resurrection. Resurrection is not a proposition. It is not an ideal. It is not an abstraction. The resurrection is Jesus Christ. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? He doesn't say, see my glory. He doesn't say, see how tight I am with God. He says that you will see the glory of God. And he goes to that tomb and he doesn't say, Almighty Father, please allow Lazarus to come forth to prove that I'm in good with you. He looks at that tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. He shows them the glory of God by manifesting the glory of God in front of them. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. The law, keeping rules, is not the resurrection. Moses never raised a dead person. Muhammad never raised a dead person because they're not God. Jesus Christ, the one whom we serve, is the God who can stand in front of a dead person and say, come out, and he gets up and walks. That's our faith. That's a better faith than those others I mentioned. Those others need to know about the one who is the resurrection and the life, because without Jesus Christ, they have no resurrection unto eternal life with the Father. There will be a resurrection, but it'll be the resurrection of judgment. The only way to get the resurrection of eternal life is through the God-man Jesus Christ. And it's a reality, not a proposition, not some abstraction. St. Jerome says about this whole idea of the resurrection being a reality, he says, no one can be led to draw a conclusion from an idea that has no basis in reality. When we speak of the resurrection, we must speak of a reality, not bandy back and forth, theological stuff. To know that the resurrection is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ that is imbued to us, infused to us in baptism, causes us to become living again. We were dead in trespasses and sins. God is the only one that makes things live. Well, I'm alive. Even the sinner is alive. Yes, in body, the body that is dead in trespasses and sins. That we are made alive in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He continues to give us that Spirit. His endless bounty gives life to the lifeless. When we are rejuvenated in baptism, we still have to struggle with this life, a life that is corrupted by sin and death. But as I said before, our spirits are ever strengthened. Our spirits are strengthened through the sacraments of the church. Our spirits are strengthened through the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why people who don't receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, although they say that they believe, although that they say they love Jesus Christ, they deny his words. They deny his words. They are heretics. And as our Lord says, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Eucharist gives us life. The confessional gives us life. Every time we walk in there, we receive the sacramental grace to be more restored to our Lord, and also the grace to withstand the temptations that would make us to fall into those sins anymore. The only person that can do that is Jesus Christ, and him alone. He is not a great prophet, a great teacher, some phenomenal sage. He is the God-man himself. He is Almighty God who can do all things, even raise from the dead. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.